I heard recently about a couple who had asked through a mother and baby website if after 9 months, if it was too late to change their baby's name. And they had named their daughter Autumn, but had decided that after 9 months that they didn't like it anymore. And it reminded me of a story that a friend of mine who is a doctor, a story that she told me. She had been working in the maternity ward in the Royal Victoria Hospital. And after seeing to the safe delivery of a baby girl, she went to later to visit the mother and to congratulate her. And during the conversation, the mother had been talking about various names for her daughter. And with all seriousness, she asked my friend what she thought about the name Squirrel, as in the four-legged furry creature that keeps eating the nuts that I put out for the birds. Squirrel. Thankfully, after some advice, the mother decided to go for a more sensible name for her daughter. Names are important to us. Sometimes we're named after a parent or a grandparent because our parents want to carry on the tradition of a family name. Or we may be given the name of, say, a biblical character that we admire and look up to. We've had two baby boys born within the last year, both with biblical names. Sometimes we're given a name because we appreciate the meaning of that name. Names are important to us. They matter. Yet it was Juliet in Shakespeare's most famous tragedy that said, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." And what she was saying is that your name, although important, your name, my name, doesn't define who we are. If a rose were instead known as a toad, it would still smell as lovely, although it would be known by a more crude name. Our names are part of our identity. They're on so many things that we own, but they do not define who we are. And we see this to be the case with Daniel and his friends. And before we come to look together at the first court scene recorded for us by Daniel, let's just consider the significance of the changing of these young Hebrews' names. We read again from verse 6, among those were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names, to Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. And from these four young Hebrews, we can see four very clear characteristics and truths about who God is. First of all, we have Daniel, whose name means God is my judge. And whenever we think of a judge, we think of one who deals out judgment. We think of one who looks at our actions and deals with us in accordance with what the law states. But this wouldn't have been the perception that Daniel had of a judge. Prior to the coronation of King David as king of the nation of Israel, there was a period whereby the people were ruled over by judges. And it's the name which is given to the book in the Old Testament. And the judges were appointed by God to lead the people and to direct them in the ways of God. And we know that this, unfortunately, wasn't always the case. And the book of Judges chronicles this downward spiral of the nation into greater apostasy and into idolatry. But Daniel's name doesn't mean Samson is my judge, one of the judges, or Gideon, or even Deborah, for that matter. His name means God is my judge. And really, what it means is God is my leader. He is my ruler. He directs the path of my life, and my allegiance is pledged to him. And as Christians, we are called to make the same declaration. We are to declare that God is our judge, that his lordship directs our lives. And there are times, sadly, that we can deviate from that course. We can very easily begin to have the desire to direct our own lives. But we must come back to that place of allegiance to God and God alone and to ask him to direct and lead our lives. When Daniel is brought to Babylon, his name is changed from Daniel to Belteshazzar, which roughly translates as "May Bel, B-E-L, protect his life," one of the pagan gods. And obviously the chief official saw something of great worth in Daniel. His name was really a blessing by the chief god of the Babylonians. Yet, as we continue to read the book, we see that Daniel refers to himself by his Hebrew name, yet refers to his friends by their new Babylonian names. And really, for Daniel, this is an act of defiance. Daniel is saying, "You may call me Belteshazzar, but I know who I am. I am Daniel, and God is my judge." His true identity is bound up in his relationship to the true God of Israel. And there are many ways in which this world and Satan attempts to make us believe that our identity as Christians is pointless and hopeless. And one of the greatest ways in which Satan causes us to believe this lie is by our voluntary acts of sin. When we sin, we can believe that we have been cut off from God, that we have failed him, and therefore begin to question our salvation. But our identity as Christians is not bound up in our own faults and feelings. Our identity as Christians is bound up in the finished work of Christ. It's through trusting in his sacrifice as the means of redemption that we are made righteous before God. And when we trust in Christ as Lord, we become God's children. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be erased. And this morning, if you've been struggling, if you've been struggling to accept that you cannot be God's child because of something in the past or some present sin, then today is the day to stop believing that lie. Because we are not defined by our past. We are defined by our future security in Christ Jesus. And perhaps God needs to bring some healing into an area of your life. And the first place where that healing starts is by talking to someone about the things that you struggle with. It's about talking about the cords of the past which are holding you back from being the person that God wants you to be. Then when we begin that process, that moves us to a place of healing, and we can be confident in our true identity. We can stand in the face of adversity and Satan's lies and say with absolute assurance that we are children of God, that we are children of the King. To Hananiah, which means "the Lord shows grace," was given the name Shadrach, which means "command of a coup," or it could be translated, "I am very fearful of God," small g. In this instance, a coup being the moon god the Babylonians worshipped. And again, we see pagan society, the world in which Hananiah found himself, and in our world today, we see an attempt to strip away the grace of God. And for whatever reason, people can struggle to accept this concept of grace. We believe there must be more than grace. And grace means goodness towards those who deserve only punishment. Or another way to think about grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. And surely Hananiah could see the grace of God even now in his situation. Was it not the grace of God that spared his life during the besieging of his home? Was it not the grace of God that he had good parents who brought him up to love the Lord? Was it not the grace of God that brought him to Babylon to be educated in another culture, to meet new people, to perhaps even make new friends? He didn't deserve all this, but that's grace. And likewise, we don't deserve God's grace. The reality is that we deserve death and judgment if we are to go by our own merits. But the Lord shows us grace. And he shows us grace by sending his son to die in our place. Christ died the death that we all deserve. And now by trusting in him, we receive the life which is found only in Jesus. Maybe this morning, God maybe has been and maybe is continuing to try and get your attention. He is trying to get your attention to tell you to stop trying to do it on your own. To stop believing that being a good person is enough. To stop trying to work your way to heaven. He is telling you to stop believing the lie that you're not good enough to receive his grace. Because the truth is, none of us are good enough to receive it. The Lord shows grace. And once again, he is showing his grace to us this morning. Of all the names given to the young Hebrews, Mishael's is perhaps the most derogatory. Mishael translates as, who is like God. His Babylonian name, however, means, who is like a coup. It was a mockery. It was a linguistic parody of who he was. And as Christians, as believers, we will be mocked for our allegiance to God. We will be mocked in the corridors of the school or the quiet corner of the office or the factory, often out of earshot. There will be times where we will be mocked more directly. There will be times that we will have to stand up for what we believe and give reasons for the hope that we have. And for those who are studying at university or preparing to go off to university, this is particularly significant. Or for any of our students, Mishael, along with his friends, were practically thrust into the university system in Babylonia. And for many Christians, university can be the place that will either make or break their faith. And we have a choice, whether run with the crowd for temporal gratification or we stand our ground in the faith that brings eternal and lasting joy. And we will come to see briefly what Daniel and his friends' response was to the prevailing culture that they were placed into. But it's fitting now to point out how we as Christians are to live in this world. See, we are not to remove ourselves from the world like monks in a monastery. We are to be salt and light in a world that is rotting and is full of darkness. We are to go to the places where Christ is needed the most. And Jesus did this. Very often he was found eating and drinking with sinners and tax collectors. He had contact with women of ill repute and men who were outcasts and recluses in society. But it was for those that he came. He came to heal the sick. And as young people, as students, you will face many challenges to your faith. You will face decisions that to choose will either bring you closer to or move you further away from God. This applies for all of us. Don't allow culture and society to change your name. You're a child of God, and you're called to live out of that identity. There is no one like our God. And you and I, we are the people to go and show that to the world. Finally, we have Azariah, whose name means the Lord helps. Azariah was given the name Abednego, which means servant of Nabu. Nabu was the son of Baal, another god in this plethora of Babylonian deities. And we see on occasions how, in fact, the Lord does help Azariah and his friends. And of course, the greatest example of this is when they are thrown into the fiery furnace. And what we see from this name-changing ceremony is that Babylon could change their names, but it could not change their identity. And as a child of the living God, nothing can change yours and my identity. Situations and circumstances might try to, but our identity remains the same. And very early on in the book of Daniel, we see this to be the case. If there was ever... Parents, take note, if there was ever a biblical argument for eating your vegetables, this is it, okay? Verse 8 reads, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. And notice what is written next. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. See how God is working behind the scenes and controlling the whole situation. And the text tells us that Daniel and his friends ate only vegetables and drank water for 10 days. And when they were brought before the king, he finds them to be 10 times better in every account than any of the other magicians or enchanters in the whole kingdom. Now, they must have eaten a serious amount of vegetables, because I know if I were to go on a diet of vegetables and water for 10 days, I'd probably be lying awake on the floor somewhere. And the challenge for us as we look at the actions of Daniel, the challenge for the Christian is to pursue purity while living in a world which is anything but pure. The challenge is to keep ourselves clean without removing ourselves from the world in which we live. And although we don't face the same food laws that Daniel and his friends adhere to, defilement can come in many different ways. Especially in this internet age when defilement and negative influence are just one simple click away. And quite often on a practical level, quite often what can happen is that as Christians we want to try and fit in with the world around us. We don't like standing out of the crowd because of our faith. But this is what we're called to do. And the amazing thing is that when we do live in this way, when we pursue purity and stand our ground in the face of the pressures of this world, we are actually the ones who are the most use in the world. We make a difference, and on occasions, the world will recognize this. We sometimes think that we will be less effective or less important if we choose to walk in God's way, but actually we see from Daniel and his friends that the opposite is the case. They stand their ground. They stand their ground and they're respected for doing so. They understand and respect their own identity as God's children. And by doing that, they act accordingly. And the challenge that is before us, all of us, myself included, is to consider if we have been living as God's children and have been acting accordingly. Because it doesn't take very much for us to slip into the mold of worldly thinking. Gossiping. A plague which can actually cripple a church if we're not careful. Anger. Jealousy. Or fits of rage. Overindulgence in whatever takes our minds off the pressures that we face. Worry. Anxiety. Fear. All human emotions which can trick us into believing that God doesn't care, so why should we? And we're all capable of these things. But we're also capable of greater things. And to realize our capacity and full potential, we must remind ourselves once again of who we are. That as Christians, our identity is in Jesus, and he knows our name. Our real name. Let me ask, how do you perceive yourself? How do you perceive yourself? Do you believe that you are worth somebody dying for you? Well, you are. Do you believe that God rejoices over you with singing? His word tells us that we are the apple of his eye. Psalm 17 and verse 8. You know, my name is Philip Kerr. But my name is not who I am. So who am I according to God? Who are we according to God's word? Well, we are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. We are children of the living God, sons and daughters of the Most High King. We are blessed. We are the beloved of God. We are chosen, sought out. We are the redeemed. We are loved with an everlasting love. We are the adopted cherished and accepted children of the King? And are we living in such a way that demonstrates that we believe these things to be true? Or have we been living life thinking that, well, I'm not that important, that nobody really cares that much about what I do, that even if you weren't around, nobody would really miss you? Well, if that is you this morning, God is simply reaching out his hand. He is reaching his hand out and asking you to take hold of it, to place your hand in the palm of your Heavenly Father. And as you do that, he whispers your name, your real name, beloved, cherished, adored, loved. Accept who you are in Christ and live out your life in the truth and the promises of his word. And if you haven't already, take these things for yourself. This is who you are in God's eyes. If you trust in him, let us pray. Our gracious Father, you know us. You know us intimately and better than anyone. You know even the words that are on our tongue before they leave our mouth. You know the hairs in our heads. You know the number of our days. You have ordained them. You know everything, Father. Lord, help us to see and to know who we are before you. That we're rather one of two people. We're either your enemy, or we are the cherished, adopted son or daughter of the King. Which will it be today? Which will it be that will give us the assurance that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That this is the truth, that there is no greater truth. That is why Jesus died, that we could be redeemed, that our names may be written in that book, that those who we love, who have gone before us, their names were written in when time began. And how they look upon that list, and they simply wait for us to join with them in glory. Or may we all be there. May our names be on that Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, help us to see who we truly are. If we have been struggling with self-doubt, if we've been struggling with low self-esteem, if we've been struggling with anxiety and fear, or whatever it may be, Lord, help us to come to you, that we would receive healing and peace and comfort and joy. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Let us stand and worship. And can I remind you that if you would like prayer, that there will be folks available this morning to pray with you at the close of the service, simply in the minister's room.